morning. And we appreciate Miss Donna setting a good worship mood for us today as we have come together in the house of the Lord. Listen, look around at somebody, give them a wave, give them a smile, give them a wink. That way, if you want to wink at somebody, it'll be all right. You can say, the preacher told me to do that. But something warm and welcoming that says, hey, you know what? I am glad I'm here today, and I am glad that you are here today as well. But we're so glad to see you. If you're part of our online audience and you're viewing today, be sure to say hello to our one and only Dr. John Cazito. He's getting ready to dot some I's and cross some T's back there. It's good to have him back with us. Do continue to pray for John and Betty. As we let you know, Miss Betty lost her mother to the kingdom. So we're just so tickled to death to know that she's going to be with the master. But yet it's hard when you lose loved ones here. And Betty is going to be traveling to Uganda. John, is she already on her way to? Or already there? She's already in Uganda for the funeral service of her mother. So keep her family in your prayers as you consider them and as the Lord lays them on your heart and on your mind. But we're glad that you're here today as we're going to gather around the Word and we're going to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful and thankful again for the opportunity to be able to be in your house, to be able to come together around your Word. And Lord, I just pray that you will speak to our hearts through your word. And Lord, that all that we do would truly be an atmosphere of worship. Even at this time, as we begin to prepare our hearts, help us in everything that we do. Lord, when we lift up our voices to you in song, I pray that it's not just because it's something that we do, but Lord, that it would truly be an act of worship to you. So, Lord, everything that we do today, may we do so to please you and to honor you and to glorify you. Father, as we open your word and as we delve into the scriptures today, I pray that, that you will speak to our hearts as only you can, that you might draw us close to you in a very, very special way, that our lives may be changed from this day forward simply because we've had this opportunity to be in your presence. Lord, bless our time. Bless what we do. Honor it, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please turn with me to hymn number 405, Have Faith in God, and please pay special attention to this rich text as we sing. Please stand as we sing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
good day to be with God's people in the house of the Lord to worship our Lord. And it's a good day, in a lot of different ways. This is the time of the year when we take this moment and opportunity to recognize some accomplishments, mainly because I know a lot of hard work has gone in to academia. I guess that's the best way to say it, on behalf of the folks that today are celebrating this month, the times when you sit back and said, I don't believe that I ever was going to make it, regardless of what it was. If you were to ask my father would tell you they thought they were going to have to burn the high school down to get me out. So that was a glorious day. Then it followed up with cramming a four-year degree into six in college. So they were there for that as well. Still remember when I said, you know, I don't really know if I'm gonna, you know, walk or not. And they told me, you will walk, because this is more for us than it is for you. So I did, but glorious days. And we want to recognize those that are in our church family that have graduated. Now, it's pretty common that when graduation takes place, you know, it's that the big deal is I'm going to go and I'm going to get away. So we have three graduates that we're going to recognize today. Two of them are on their senior getaway, whether it's with family or friends or whatever it may be. But we do want to still mention those. And one we have with us that's a mainstay that I'll introduce you to here in just a minute. But first of all, I want to recognize Sally Emma Logan. Now, a lot of you all have seen Sally since the day that she was born. She is the daughter of Misty and Mitchell Logan, and she has graduated. She graduated actually on May the 26th from Triad Baptist Christian Academy. And just to highlight a few of the things along her journey in high school, she is a member of the National Honor Society. She has the ACI Distinguished Christian High School Student Award for Outstanding Academic Achievements. You can tell I'm getting my head wrapped around that one. My tongue don't work right all the time. And she was also inducted into the Quill and Scroll International Honor Society. I've said before, some people graduate, you know, summa cum laude, magna cum laude, and cum laude. I graduated, thank the Lord. So Sally, National Honor Society member, she does have some future plans. Her future plans are to attend Liberty University, where her major is going to be Christian Studies. So I'm not sure exactly whether that's going to be in the fall, whether she's going to do some work through the summer or what have you, but we'll keep you posted on that. And I love what she said as far as her future plans. I love this. This should be something for each and every one of us. But Sally's future plans are to follow God's will. How simple is that, and how blunt and to the point is that when it comes down to what each and every one of us should be doing? So as you get a chance and you have the opportunity to see Sally, be sure to congratulate on her graduation from high school, and then be praying for her as she goes about her future plans of attending college and pursuing a Christian ministries degree. Okay, a second one, another one that needs no introduction, but Amy Crider. You know, a lot of y'all have seen Amy. She a lot of times will play with her daddy up here. What a joy it is to see that. And her granddaddy used to be our minister of music here before the Lord called him home. But Amy actually has graduated from Montgomery Community College. She graduated on May the 10th of 2023, receiving her degree in taxidermy. Now, Amy graduated with a diploma in taxidermy as well as a certificate in bird and certifications in mammals. And she was also inducted into the Phi Theta Kappa Honor Society, and her future plans are already in progress. But Amy has opened her own taxidermy shop in Kernersville, North Carolina, called Undead Taxidermy. So for all of you all like me who are hunters and you need something stuffed, we got somebody for you. Amy can fix you right up. So it's been funny over the time that she's been in school. You know, we've called her a few times and said, Amy, there's something dead out here in the road out here. Would you like it? Matter of fact, I think we had a duck out here one day and said, Amy, would you like this duck? And she would come down and she would take those things and use them for her projects. So as you have the opportunity and you get a chance to see Amy, be sure to let her know that you'll be praying for the success of her business as she goes forward, as well as just having the opportunity to be able to see her in the Lord's house here doing the Lord's will. What a joy that is. And then finally, this year, one that we have here because he has to work all the time. Wesley, come on down and join me. We don't let Wesley get away, do we, Papa Ham? We got to keep him around here. He's got to work some. A lot of you all have seen Wesley in and out of, come on up here. Yeah, we'll get up here so you can get a good picture. Yeah. Come on over here. Let's see. Where's the light? Look.
Right. That one, yeah.
That one right there. You get to see it from this vantage point. Wesley, yeah, Wesley's usually over in the other building. He and helps Don in working to get our broadcast out on Sunday mornings, but does just a lot of different things around here. This year, Wesley has put in a lot of hard work over the years, even during the summer on vacations. Had an opportunity to see him continue to do schoolwork and classes even while he was on vacation. But Wesley is the son of James and Kathy Ham, and Wesley graduated in December. Now, like I say, we recognize our graduates in the month of May, but in college you have different semesters. But Wesley actually finished up and graduated in December of 2022 with his Bachelor of Science degree in Construction Management from Indiana State University. And we're so tickled and proud of him for that. His future plans are to continue being a project manager at EME Industrial Services. So if you have any use for their services, you know who to call. You can hunt Wesley down. If you're not sure exactly what all they do, you can ask Wesley. You know, anything from demolition. EME did a lot of stuff here when we were in the process of our building project and program. They did the demolition of our old buildings to get everything ready for here. Asbestos. As a matter of fact, Wesley is an asbestos inspector for EME. He's grown into quite a young man, hadn't he? We're so proud of him. And as always, the same, we're going to do this with Sally as well as Amy, but just a little token of appreciation on behalf of Central Baptist Church, just to say how proud we are of them and how we're going to be praying for them and how we look to a great, great future. This is not the end. These are just new chapters. It's the closing of one chapter, the opening of another chapter. But I can tell you that I am so proud of our graduates. They need our support. They need our prayers. They need to know that somebody is in their corner. So we look for great things for them as they go forward. And as always, I appreciate not only my cameraman, but my friend. Congratulations, Wes. Y'all give him a hand. Give all of our graduates a hand. And as you have an opportunity, there's a couple of tables that are set up there in the narthex on your way out. Be sure to stop by and kind of look at what they've got out there, what they've got displayed along the way. I haven't had a chance to slip back there yet, but I'm going to, and look forward to what the future is going to hold for our graduates. I'm so proud of them. I know what it takes, and if you've ever I was funny. I said this one time before. I said, if you've ever been to school, you know and understand, you know, what it takes to graduate from college. And I like what one of the guys would say. He said, college? He said, I had my hands full trying to graduate from high school. So there's some accomplishments along the way as well there. So I want to issue somewhat of a challenge, not only this morning, not only to our graduates, but also to each and every one of us. If you got your Bible, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. These are not going to be unfamiliar passages to you. But I trust and hope and pray that what's going to happen is that along the way, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, that the Holy Spirit is going to convict your heart, and the Holy Spirit is going to have you evaluate where you stand in regard to this particular concept. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, as we begin reading with verse 14, leads us into what is often called the parable of the talents. You've heard that, and a parable is a story that is told that helps to drive a point home. And one of the things I loved about Jesus was that he was a simple yet complex mind person, but yet he could still take a story to bring across a point that was very understandable to everybody. That's why I said I love it so much, because I'm one of those guys that needs all the help I can get when it comes to understanding various and sundry principles, and particularly biblical ones. But he gave this story of the parable of the talents that speaks to each and every one of us. It really speaks to our graduates today. It speaks to them as they go forward, but yet it still speaks to each and every one of us where we are. Because if you're living and breathing, it's not too late to make some corrections along the way here. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, beginning with verse 14, reads as follows. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we pray for wisdom and insight into your word. Lord, I pray that these words, as directed by the Holy Spirit in our lives, would come to light in such a way, Lord, that it will move us closer to you. Father, as always, I pray if there's one within the sound of my voice that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day they would give their life over to you. And realize the joy and the freedom that comes in having a relationship with you that is going to last all into eternity. Lord, today may we take up the challenge that the Holy Spirit will put on each and every one of our hearts and be with this your servant for these moments that you might truly be lifted up, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at this, one of the first things that comes to mind is stewardship. Now, most of the time when you hear that word in a church context, what are we talking about? Money. We're talking about giving. And some people be sitting back going, oh, I get tired of hearing about money and giving. And part of the reason that comes up is because A, it's biblical. B, because God wants to bless you. That's not a tough, tough thing. And that's just one of the tough, tough areas. But let's move beyond the definition of stewardship as we know it, often heard in the church in regard to money. Let's look at it in regard to something else. To be a steward means that you have been entrusted with something. Yeah, it's not mine, but I am to look over it. I am to care for it. I am to nurture it. I am to use it to its fullest. Now, when we begin to think about that, and when we begin to think about stewardship, you know, as it comes to mind, as we're honoring our graduates today, there comes a time, particularly in the life of the high school student, that if they're going to move forward with college, that they begin to determine, what is it that I'm going to do with the rest of my life? Anybody remember being there? You graduated from high school, or even while you were in high school, and people good-hearted would come up to you and say, so what are you going to do now? And you might say, well, I'm going to go to college. And then you know what the next question would be? What are you going to major in? Three words. I don't know. That's a lot of pressure, isn't it? I mean, I still remember that. Now, here's my thing. My thing was God called me to ministry when I was 15 years old, and I knew what I was supposed to be doing. But see, I thought God needed my help. Well, Lord, I'll do that, but I need to do something else. I need to hedge my bets because, you know, preachers don't make much money. They just don't get a whole lot of money. So I need to help you out, Lord. So I'm going to be a computer science guy Monday through Friday. I'll take Saturday off, and I'll preach for you on Sunday. And God said, no, doesn't work that way. Now, I've shared with you as part of my personal testimony, I was going to be a computer science guy. Now, this was a long time ago, okay? The computers were the size of this room. The stuff that fits in your pocket now was the size of this room. They had COBOL and Fortran, and any of you computer people might know what that is. Some of you that have your hair's a little grayer don't have a clue what I'm talking about. That's okay. But it was in the prehistoric days. I always said it like this. Windows were what you opened for air, and a mouse lived in a hole and ate cheese. That's the way computer science was back then. And I took two computer classes. I thought, I'm going to knock this out of the park. In my college career, I failed two classes. Guess which two they were? Computer science classes. I still remember what my dad told me. My dad said, son, maybe you went into computer science and the Lord didn't. And he was right. See, but the Lord knew how to get my attention. He said, I called you to be you for me, and you're not heading in the right path. So I'm going to give you a little nudge in the right direction. At which he did. But still, I didn't exactly know what I wanted to do. And those are tough, tough questions because all of a sudden there's pressure about what it is that you are supposed to do with the rest of your life. When you get into college, you can ride it out for the first 2 years of a four-year school as an undecided, undeclared major taking general study courses. But when year three hits, you got to determine a major. What are you going to do? Now, I ask this question. Rather than saying, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? The question is, what has God called you to do with the rest of your life? There's a difference in those two, isn't there? What has God given you? Are you ready for this? The talent and the ability to use for His honor and for His glory. Now, let's go back to the scripture. Because Jesus, at this particular point, is giving a story about some things that I think we hard-headed Christians today miss out on, and I want to point a few of those things out. So he tells this story. He says, the kingdom of heaven, verse 14, is like a man traveling into a far country, and it says that he's called his servants together, and it says, to one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Now, let's stop there for just a moment. Some of you know and maybe went to school with or even know today some of those five-talent people. You know, they were star of the football team and the star of the basketball team and the star of the baseball team and the star of the cross country team. And they played soccer, and they had academia out the nose. They were honor society. How many of y'all know somebody like that? They kind of made you sick to be around them, because it looked like they never had to study, and everything always just seemed to fall in there. But they could do everything, good in academics, good in athletics, good in everything. And you're like, I'd like to find something they're not good in, and you couldn't find it. How many of y'all know that those people went to school with them, work with, whatever it may be? Those are some five talent people. Let me tell you something. I ain't that. But see, you also have to realize that if God has given you those five talents, there's an expectation that goes along with them. The expectation is that they be used for His honor, for His glory. Now, pay careful attention to what I said. I didn't say your honor and your glory. I said His honor and His glory. Are you using them for Him? Choir was getting ready to sing. Brad was going to hand me the book. I was getting ready to say, well, I'm going to hand you my Bible. We'll trade real quick. Now, that could have been a nightmare all the way around. I don't know. Might have worked out. But let me tell you what Roy doesn't have a talent in. Singing. You can ask Don and Wesley if my mic gets accidentally left open when we're singing. That's not a good thing for the listening audience. But it said he gave one guy five. That's a lot. And by the way, yeah, I made a note, and you've heard this before, but a talent was a monetary unit worth about 20 years' wages for a worker. One talent was worth about 20 years' worth of a paycheck, a worker's paycheck. Does that bring this into a little bit more perspective? So if he gave a guy five talents, he gave him about 100 years worth of a working man's wages. Would you like for somebody to come up and do that for you? Oh, yeah. All right. So he gave him a lot, but there was great responsibility that came with what he received. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? So it says, that was the first guy. It says to the second guy, verse 15, and to another one, he gave two. That is still 40 years worth of working wages. Now, some of you know people in your life that are very good at what they do. They might not be good at anything else, but they're very good at what they do. How many of y'all know somebody like that? You're sitting there saying, I'll tell you one thing, that guy right there don't have the good sense God gave him to get out of the rain, but boy, you put him in his element and he is dead on it. You know people like that. Maybe a two-talent guy. He's still been given some responsibility. And then it goes on in that verse 15, and it says, to his other servant, he gave one. I'm kind of that guy. He lets me dabble around with the two and the five people, but I'm kind of the one guy. And I want to tell you why. And I'm tickled to death about it. You know why I'm tickled to death? Because God knows me. God created me. It's like that old statement that David and I always pick about, but it's very true to us. I said, I am not a good instrument player. I try to play, and some of y'all got the chance to see my debut not long ago with the group. You're going to hear me again. But that's the first time I've ever done that. But I've often said this, and David agrees the same way. If God allowed me to be good at that, you know what the problem is? I'd never do anything else. I'd just sit around and play all day. I'd just sit around and pick that banjo or play that guitar or that bass, and I wouldn't do anything. And some of y'all sit back and say, oh, no, people don't do. Listen, I had a roommate in college that was there for one semester. You know why he was there for one semester? Because all he did 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, was sit on his bed and play a guitar. Wasn't interested in the academics or anything. Wasn't interested in that. But again, am I upset about that? No. Because I get to do what God has called me. This is what God's called me to do. And I can't do without that. You get those days. Listen, sometimes people go, oh, it's a snow day. We're not going to have services today. And they're like, and sometimes down inside you're like, oh, good. Not me. I feel useless. So it says that the master called these guys together. And I love what it says. Now get this in verse 15. The latter part of it says, to each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. Did that mean that the master didn't like the one talent guy as much as he liked the five talent guy? No. Did that mean that he didn't like the one talent guy as much as he liked the two talent guy? No. It doesn't have anything to do with personalities when it comes down to that. But here's the bottom line. Some people are multi-talented and some are not. Some people are single-talented. Some people can multitask like you've never seen before, and some people cannot. So what it says is this. It says that the master gave to them according to their abilities. In other words, he's saying, this guy that I gave one talent to, he can handle that. By the way, that's still 20 years worth of salary. He said, he can handle that. I don't know what he would do with the five. He probably wouldn't do so good with that. But I can trust him with 20 years worth of salary. Now, here's the thing that we've got to understand. Along with that comes expectation. To our graduates, there is expectation that comes with responsibility. Now, it says as we go on in verse 16, it starts to talk about what happened with those whom the master had given the talents to. Now, I'm sure that you probably are picking up in this particular parable who each of these characters represents. The master represents the master, our Lord and Savior. Those who were the workers represent you and I. So here's what I want you to understand today. And why do I say this? Because so many people say, well, there's nothing that I can do. No, 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 no. God has given to each and every one of us talents and abilities, or a talent and ability to be used for His honor, for His glory. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you think, whether you think that you are not able or whether you think you are not capable. God has given to you a talent. He has given to you a responsibility, and He is not going to let you slide on it. You want an example of that, a biblical example of that? I'm going to give you one. Y'all remember the story of Moses? Remember his deal? We know from the time he was a baby, you know, and as his mama put him in the little basket because all the little children were being killed and floated it down there to where Pharaoh's daughter was. Pharaoh was the one who made the announcement that all the children, you know, 2 years of age and younger be put to death. So his little girl brings home a baby. Daddy, look what I found, and I'm keeping it whether you like it or not. Well, we know the relationship between daddies and daughters, don't we? Well, we're going to let this one slide. So then Moses actually gets to be nursed and raised and tended to by his own mother. In the palace, he has the best of education and everything else, but she also taught him about who he was in the Lord. He was a Hebrew. He was amongst all the Egyptians. And remember what happened one day? He saw the Egyptians, an Egyptian and a Hebrew fighting. And man, he came unglued. He went out there and he killed the Egyptian. Well, then he tried to hide it. Remember that? He buried the body. And yeah, just a little while later, he saw once again an Egyptian and a Hebrew having a little spat. He steps in, he's trying to say, look, man, can't we all just get along? And the Egyptian says to him, why? What are you going to do? You're going to do me like you did that other guy? You're going to kill me and hide my body? All of a sudden, Moses realized what he had done, he had been caught doing. So what does he do? He, in fear for his life, runs. He gets out of Egypt. He's out there tending sheep. And God shows up. Remember the burning bush thing? I'm going fast. Like I said, I'm talking fast, so y'all got to listen fast and understand fast. The burning bush thing happened, and God said, remove your shoes. The place you're standing is holy ground. Long and the short of it is, he says, Moses, you're going to be the one to go to Pharaoh to tell him to let my people go. And Pharaoh says, and this is Roy's translation. Moses says to God, you got the wrong guy. What? God's like, oh, yeah, sorry, didn't mean to bother you over here. I'll just walk. No, that's not what he did. God doesn't make the mistake. And remember his flimsy excuse. He says, I don't speak well. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not eloquent. I'm not any of that stuff. You obviously have the wrong guy. And God says, I don't make mistakes. You're the guy. Kind of irritated God, if you go back and read that. I believe it's Exodus chapter 2. And God said, you're not getting off the hook. Now, I want you to take a deep breath and pause for just a minute, because here's something I want you to know. The same way that God did not allow Moses off the hook, he will not allow you and me off the hook when it comes to the talent and the ability that he has given us. You are going to answer for it. If God called you to preach, you better be preaching. If he called you to sing, you better be singing for his honor and glory. If he called you to be a person of hospitality, then you better be shaking some hands and smiling at some people, because you're going to be held accountable for it. If he's called you to teach, you better get on with teaching. And don't sit back and say, well, you know, God's called me to teach, but I don't have a place to teach. We'll find you a place to teach. And if it don't work out, go teach on the corner. Do you think that if today I was no longer able to preach in this pulpit at Central Baptist Church, do you think I'd find me someplace to preach on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday? Yes, because that's what I've been called to do. And I am going to be held accountable and responsible for it. And so will you, graduates. You are going to be held accountable for what God's given you and how you use it. I didn't just say, well, let me make sure you're not misunderstanding me. I didn't say just use it. But you need to be using it for his honor and glory. There's a lot of people I know very talented that aren't using their talents and abilities for the Lord. They're using them for themselves, or they're using them for worldly aspects or something else. But here's what I want you to know. A reckoning day is coming. Now, it says in verses 16 through 18 what happened. It said the guy who had the five talents went out and doubled them. The guy that had the two talents went out and doubled them. But then it says in verse 18, but he who had received the one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Literally, put it in a mason jar and buried it in the backyard. But here's where it starts getting tricky, verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Now, let me make that real spiritual to you and I today. Remember what we said. The master in this story is our Lord. And he came back to settle accounts. He's given us a story. He's telling us it's coming. He has entrusted us with talents and abilities individually and corporately. And here's what he's saying. There is coming a time when you're going to get called on the carpet. You are going to give an account for what you have done, and it could be today. Now, I want you to think for a moment what God has gifted you with. Now, you can sit back to me and look at me and say, well, yeah, I really don't know. Well, that don't work with God. He knows what he's given you, and you know what he's given you to use for his glory. Now, if you had to stand before him today and on a scale of 1 to 10, rate yourself in using the talent and the ability that God has given you, using it for His honor and for His glory, where would you rank yourself on a scale of 1 to 10? Don't answer me. I'm not the Holy Spirit. But I will tell you right now, you will answer the Holy Spirit. You know, for some of us, the Lord's going... For some of us, He's going. For some of us, He's sitting there going, "You're trying. You got potential." But you know how a country boy defines potential? A country boy defines potential as, "You ain't got there yet." That's how potential's defined. But are you working on it? Listen, we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But the Lord, do you understand the importance of what I'm telling you today? I hope and trust and pray our graduates understand the importance of what I am telling you today. That God has gifted you. He has given you some talent and ability, and there's going to be a test. You're going to answer for it. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. If it were today, what would the Lord say to you? Would He be able to say to you, "Well done"? Or would He look at you and say, "You wicked, lazy person"? Because let me tell you something. God don't mince words. He's not worried about the precious feelings of people today. Everybody don't get a trophy in the kingdom. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? That's reality. It says He came to settle accounts with, and we get to be privy to the story. In verse 20, so the one who had received the 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents. Saying, "Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them." And what happened is he doubled what the master had given him. And could you have imagined being that guy? You got 100 years worth of a laborer's salary, and when it comes back. See, here's part of what I believe to be the problem in our society today. We think that all the stuff we have is ours. We think it's ours to use however we want to, ours to use at will. But you know, notice what this said. This says that we are a steward. We have been entrusted with what we have. Time, tithe, talent, all these different things are a gift from God. They belong to Him, and we're to use them for His honor and for His glory. And I think part of the problem is we think it's ours. God doesn't deserve my tithe. God doesn't deserve my time. God doesn't deserve my talents. You better be real careful. It says, verse 20, so he who received the 5 talents came and brought 5 more. 100 years worth of a worker's salary, and he brings back 200 years and says, "Master, here you go." Does it say in this scripture that he's going to keep any of that? No. Because it belongs to the master. He's been working for the master. Then it says, the Lord answered him in verse 21, said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." He said, "Attaboy, you've done well. I can trust you. I can put you in charge of other things. You passed the test. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And the guy probably was like, "Thanks, boss." Walks away. Then verse 22 says, he also who had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them." Now, did the Lord look at him and say, "Well, you didn't do as good as this guy did"? No. Did he say, well, you know what? You could have done a whole lot better with what you had. I expect. No. Here's what he said to him. Verse 23. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Did he say anything different to the two-talent guy who doubled his than he did to the five-talent guy who doubled his? No. He said the exact same thing. Why? What was his expectation? He was just as proud as the guy with two talents that had doubled them as he was the guy that had five talents and doubled them. You know what? I like to look at it like this because I'm a simple-minded person. If God says, you're to give to me 10%, if I have a dollar and I give God a dime, have I fulfilled what he's asked me to do? Yeah. What if I have $10 and I give a dollar? Is he just as proud of me giving my dime as the guy who made the 10 and gave the dollar? Yeah, because I've been just as obedient. I've done what God's asked me to do and what he's given me the talent and ability to do. I don't care if you put 5,000. Yeah, I do. You can put 5,000 in there if you want. But if you put $5,000 in there and it doesn't come up to what the Lord has required of you, then God's more proud of the guy who gave a dime because he was faithful. Let me make this statement. It's hilarious. God doesn't need your money. God, yeah, I don't preach that because we have bills around here to pay, although we do. I preach it because I want to see God bless you in the way that the Word says. He says, if you're faithful, and he even says, dare me. I dare you to try me and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing that you can't even comprehend. And listen, I've tried it over and over and over and over again. And I have never been able to outgive God. Try it, I dare you. You can't do it. Every time God will backdoor you and you will find, I mean, you're like, I'm going to do this in secret, Lord. Ha ha. This is yours. This is what you want me to do. Boom. Got it. Shh, don't tell nobody. And then by the time you turn around, he's doubled it somewhere in the mail. That's just God. But see, some people won't even try him with that because this is mine. He was proud of the servant that he had given the two talents to who had doubled them. He said the exact same thing to him as the man who doubled the five. But then it gets to the then. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. Now, I want you to pay careful attention to that. Because too many of us have this vision of God that he's a big granddaddy and you just crawl up in his lap and you can get away with everything. Well, let me tell you something. He is, but he's also the same granddaddy that will spank your behind. He's the same one that will, where I come from, they call it jerk a knot in your head. Can you relate? He's the same one that will paddle your backside or apply the board of education to the seat of your learning. The one talent guy said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. You know why? Because he expects something of his children. When he gives you and I a cornfield, when he comes back, he expects to see some corn. You know, if the Lord said, I'm going to give this to you to grow corn for your family, and he comes back and all he sees is dry dirt desert, and somebody says, well, I was afraid because the farmer's almanac said the rain didn't look right. Listen, we can come up with 10,000 excuses why we can't, but you only need one why you can, and the one is because God asked you to. Listen, if God asks you to plant a field full of corn, I don't care if it all comes up and dies. You've been faithful. And sometimes it will come up and die. Sometimes it will be a test. I knew you, Lord. Verse 24, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. So I was afraid. There's that word again. Afraid. God says, do not be afraid. Listen, you and I don't have to be afraid of the world and the condition it's in.
They're not going to like you. Do you understand me? If I preach the gospel, people don't like me. If I take a biblical stance on something that is contrary to the world, they're not going to like you. And we get our feelings hurt like that's a surprise. Oh, they hurt my feelings. Let me go crawl up under a rock. If you do that, Satan's won. I will stand proud on what the gospel message is and what it says. And let me tell you what else I know. I know what it's like to stand by myself. But I also know what it's like to realize that there's a God that's far bigger than me that's standing right over my shoulder. And I'd a whole lot rather please him, because I'm going to be with him a whole lot longer than I'm going to be with y'all. See, I want to hear him say, you were a little old country boy. You weren't the sharpest knife in the drawer, but you'd listen. And you maintain, and you were faithful to the gospel message. Well done. Well done. That's what I want to hear. Isn't that what you want to hear? Well done. You done good. I love coming in contact with people who don't think they have anything whatsoever, and yet I can see what they have. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest saints that's with the Lord right now was an usher. I am here today by a large part because of him. We called him the Candy Man. I've shared with him before. His name was Jack Givens. Jack was the head usher. And us boys looked up to Mr. Jack. Not just because he had a pocket full of candy, but that didn't hurt. And I'd go get candy from Jack every Sunday, and I still remember when I was a little boy, one Sunday Jack said to me, he goes, hey, he goes, you want to help me out today? And I was like, well, what do you want me to do? He said, how about catching that short aisle for the offering today? Now, see, my church, my home church, had a center aisle, and then it was an aisle out here, and there was aisles on the side. The short aisle was that one. There wasn't a whole lot of people. But I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And I still remember I went down there. I got the four big guys, you know, the coat and tie guys. They were the front guys. They came up to the table. And one of them did the prayer. I was one of the guys out there going. And I still remember when I came back and I handed Mr. Jack that offering plate. He looked at me and he went. And he said, you going to be here next week? I said, oh, yeah, I'll be here next week. He said, you going to catch that short aisle next week? I said, yeah. And then it got to the point where I had to get to church. Because if I didn't get to church, Mom, Dad, hurry up. If we don't get to church, Mr. Jack is going to give my short aisle to somebody else. I don't want somebody else taking my short aisle. Oh, and then one day, Mr. Jack came to me and he said, I don't want you to do the short aisle today. My heart sank. He said, I want you as one of the four up front. I was like, wow. I remember walking up with those guys two by two, man, two in that aisle, two in this aisle. We converged at the front in step. It was a thing of beauty. And we would fan out around that table. Arms in front, jacket the way it was supposed to be. Man, I felt like the pastor didn't have nothing on me that day because I was a center aisle guy. Before long, I was there, and I remember one day Mr. Jack came up to me and he said, hey, I need you to do me a favor today. And I said, what's that, Mr. Jack? And he said, will you say the offertory prayer? Getting deep now. Nervous. Oh, mercy. But let me tell you what. Every time, every single time, Mr. Jack was there going, attaboy, attaboy. You see, what Mr. Jack did, Mr. Jack connected me to my church. And I'm here today because of a short aisle and a candy man. Now, don't you tell me that the kingdom don't have something special in store for him. And Mr. and Miss Sense that took us brat little boys. And literally, I mean, we were fire alarm pulling, sneaking out of the building, all kind. That was us. Bunch of little brat. Nobody wanted to teach us Sunday school. And Mr. and Miss Sense were like 90 years old. I'm not kidding. And they loved us little boys. And she would pray for us. And we were like, what is this woman talking about? And God called the majority of their class into ministry. They're preaching across the world today. And Margaret and Pete are with Jesus. The brats that nobody thought anything about. She gave me a book for Christmas one time. But we're boys, man. We don't want no Christian book. What's this all about? Give me a Bible dictionary. We're all looking at each other going, thank you. I still have that Bible dictionary in my library because she saw further than I could. You know why? Because God gave each of them a talent and an ability to use for him. For some, it was the offering, it was the short aisle. That was Mr. Jack. It was the short aisle. For Mr. and Miss Sense, it was the boys that nobody else wanted. And she loved us and took up for us. Before they died, there was actually a revival at my church that was held. It was a two-week revival that all of the boys that had been called into ministry out of their Sunday school class came back and did the revival. And she just sat there. She would sit there with her hands folded and just smile the prettiest smile. Don't tell me God don't have something special in store for them. You know why? Because they exercised the talent and ability and were good stewards with what God had given them. Oh, there's a reckoning day that's coming. And if you think that you are going to stand before the Lord and give him some flimsy excuse for the reason why you're not using what he's given you, let me point you to verse 26 of our text. It says, but the Lord answered him and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back mine own with interest. Does that sound like grandpa that you're going to crawl up in his lap and he's not going to do anything or say, given today's society, oh, it's okay. It's all right, honey. No, no, no. I grew up in a different age. It wasn't, it's all right, honey. It was, poof. It's supposed to hurt. I got to be careful that I don't get off on something I shouldn't get off on. Mom, dads, Christian people, it's time that we stepped up and that we became what God wanted us to be. If God, and I'll give you a preview maybe of what's coming up for Father's Day, but let me tell you this much. If God gave you the gift of being a father, then you better be a good steward of that gift. You better be training those children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, because let me tell you something, a reckoning day is coming. And do you want to hear him say, you wicked and lazy and slothful servant? Whew, I don't want to hear that. Then he even went on and said this, therefore, take the talent from him. One, just one talent, still 20 years worth of a working man's life. He said, take it away from him and give it to the one that had 10. He didn't even say give it to the one that took 2 and multiplied it. He said, give it to the one that's got 10. For everyone, verse 29, who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Let me give you a translation. The Lord said, if you don't use what you got, there's a good chance you're going to lose it. And he said, and the thing about it is, if you're faithful to use what he's given you, then I'll give you more. I'll push back your borders that you can't even begin to contain it. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about everything. He also said, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's talking about salvation there. I mean, look, man, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. You might get a boot to the backside, but you're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. So as I close out today, here's the thing I want to ask you. I want to ask you what God asked Moses over in Exodus chapter 4. Actually, it's Exodus chapter 4. It says in this, you don't have to turn there, but Exodus 4:2 says, so the Lord said to him, him being Moses, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. So remember, that was when God was talking to Moses, and he said, what have you got? It's a rod. It's a shepherd's staff. As those verses follow, remember what it said that God told him to do? He told him, throw it on the ground. What happened? Became a serpent. Moses was smart. He ran away from it. Good man. Then the Lord said this, told him what? He said, reach down and pick it up. When he reached, I'd still be going. He reached down to pick it up, and when he did, it was a staff again. Then he goes on, he told him, he said, reach your hand in your cloak. And he said, when he took it out, it was leprosy all over it. Boy, that was almost a fate worse than death back then. He said, stick it back in there again, take it out. It was gone, it was healed. Do you realize what God was saying? God said, that rod is going to stand for who I am in your life. It's going to stand for the power of who I am and what takes place when it's utilized for my honor, for my glory. Remember what it was when the Red Sea parted. It says he stood there with the staff. It was because God's the one that did it, not Moses. Even when he was disobedient, remember one time he told him to strike the rock, and when he struck the rock, water came out of it. The next time he told him to speak to the rock, and he struck it again. But it represented who God was for him. So here's my question. Not only to our graduates, but to each and every one of us here. What's in your hand? Because God has put something in your hand. I love the story, the Old Testament story. If you remember the widow that was about to lose her boys to indentured servanthood. Remember that? And the creditors were coming to take her boys away. And the widow lady went to the prophet and she said, they're coming to take my boys away. I don't know what to do. Remember what the prophet asked her? He said, what do you have? Remember what she said? I have nothing but a little jar of oil. Remember? So the prophet, as led by God, said, go out and collect pots, not just a few, get as many as you can. Another message for another day, but I believe the amount of blessing we get is to the extent that we put some effort into it. Because what if she'd have gone out and only gotten 5 pots? What if she'd have gone out and gotten 500 pots? The way that story goes, it says that once she got the pots, she and her boys locked themselves in a room, and they brought her a pot, and she took that little cup of oil, and she began to pour it in there. And the oil never ran dry until they ran out of pots. I believe if there'd have been another pot, there'd have been more oil. But you see, remember, there was an order. The order was, go get pots. Don't just get a few. Sometimes we need to prepare for the miracle God wants us to do. She might have been thinking afterwards, she thought, golly, Pete, man, if I'd have known this, I'd have gone and got more pots. Duh. Listen, don't just get a few. But the oil didn't, until, I love what it said. She asked her boy, bring me another pot. They said, there are no more. And at that point was when the oil ran out. God wants to do some great, incredible, and some cool things with each and every one of us. There's no accident that he's brought us together to serve him. I can't sing, but Brad and the choir can. I can't play, but Donna and Vicky can. But boy, when we get together, we can bring down the house, can't we? I said one time I was going to come in, I was going to go over there and say, I'll tell you what, Vicki, let's trade today. I'm going to play the piano and you preach. Let me put it to you this way. Y'all wouldn't be here to hear Vicki preach because you wouldn't make it through Roy trying to play the piano. But he didn't gift me that way. He didn't give me that talent or ability. I'm glad he gave it to her, and I'm glad that we can serve together. That's why we need each other. We're better together. Listen, we need some candy men. We need some Jack Gibbons that are going to connect little boys to their church because of the short aisle. We need some Margaret and Pete Senses that are 90 years old that believe in the little brat boys that nobody wants to teach, who turned them into preachers by the help and grace of God. Well, it had to have been a miracle of God. They still exist. What's God called you to do? Where's he placed you? Brad, you guys come on up, take your place as we begin our time of invitation. I want to ask you this. If you came today to hear from God, you heard something from him. How do I know that? Because God's word doesn't return void. He either convicted your heart about salvation, which maybe you don't have. I'm not judging. I'm letting you do that. I'm letting you deal with the Holy Spirit. But as the Holy Spirit said, look, you have a form of religion. It's not about just coming down here and praying a prayer with the preacher and checking off all the boxes. You've heard me say that 1,000 times, and I will continue to say it. It's not something you do. It's somebody you know. It's you begin to cultivate a relationship with a holy God through his son, Jesus Christ. Have you really trusted him? Listen, if you haven't, the Holy Spirit's telling you right now. That's not just heartburn or hunger pains. I'll get you out here to eat in just a minute, but what is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? That you need him? Listen, if that's you, I don't even want you to wait to the time of our invitation. Just bow your head and say, Lord, today I realize I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save my soul. Help me live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know, if you meant that, that is the begin. That's the introduction. That's the handshake. But that's all that was. It's time for you to get to know him. Those that know him and follow his will. Now, I'm not saying that you can work your way. The Bible says contrary to that. But when you fall in love with him, you want to spend time with him. I remember when Jana and I first started dating, I wanted to spend every dying moment I could with her. Still do. I do. Why? Because I love her. I mean, what would it be like if it's like, hey, babe, yeah, let's go out on a date. And then we go out on a date and we never see each other again. How do you think that's going to work? He wants that relationship with you. Maybe you're here today and you've realized you haven't been exercising your talents and your abilities for the kingdom. Not for the preacher, not for the church, for the kingdom. Well, guess what? Get busy. He's giving you another chance. His grace abounds. So what decision have you made today? Maybe you just need to say, Lord, I'm coming up out of that pig pen and I'm coming home to you. He not only is waiting on you, he will meet you as you go. As you go back, he'll close the distance and meet you. If you need me, I'm here. If you need this altar, it's here. But right now, you do business with God with what he's put on your heart as Brad leads us as we come to sing our invitation hymn.
I'm not afraid to die. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. And like I say, we say it that way because that's what it is, the Lord's tithe and our offering. That's anything above what He requests or requires from us. But may we all be found faithful during this time. So let's pray together. Father, we come to you now thanking you and praising you for provision in our lives. Each and everything we have comes from you. Lord, I pray right now that you will continue to bless us. May we truly be found to be faithful stewards in every aspect of everything that you have given in our lives. Lord, may we be faithful right now as we take the tithe and the offering. May you bless the gift and the giver as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Let me just give you a couple things, and then we'll get you on out of here. I mentioned last week, I was 2 weeks behind because I had forgotten about it. There are some baby bottles back there in the back. Somebody asked me this morning and said, haven't you gone to a sippy cup yet? I said, no, I'm still on the baby bottle. What these are for, this is to collect just change, pocket change, anything that you have. We usually do that between Mother's Day and Father's Day, and this goes to the Crisis Pregnancy Center. This helps to pay for ultrasounds. A lot of times what will happen is they'll have an opportunity to talk to these young ladies that are considering abortion. And I love what they say. They say, if I can just get them to take a look at that little baby, then most of the time they won't abort that child. That's what this goes for. We will be taking this probably through the end of June. We won't stop it on Father's Day, but if you've already got a bottle, and then some of y'all may have said, well, that we ran out last week, I think we got some more out there in the narthex now, you can grab you one. If you don't have one, keep collecting. We'll make sure you get one. But at any rate, this is well worth our time, our efforts, and our energy. So grab a baby bottle and be a part of that. Last time, y'all almost injured my back with taking those bottles down there for them to count it. Cool. You can injure my back anytime on something like that. We'll be happy to get it there. Real quick, birthdays this week. Shirley Chavis and Valerie both have birthdays on Tuesday. So when you get a chance, be sure to wish them a very happy birthday. And then this coming week, Jeff and Jennifer Williard have an anniversary. She's stayed with you, brother. God bless you. Man, grace. Let Jeff and them know how much we appreciate them. Just a couple quick things for you. My D-Life group, my discipleship group, we will meet today at 3:30 in the conference room. Choir practice is going to be at 4:45 p.m. That's in the sanctuary, right? Here in the sanctuary. All right, then Sunday night Bible study will be in here at 6 o'clock. The band rehearsal for the July the 4th concert will be at 7 o'clock p.m. tonight in the gym. Actually going to be meeting over there in the gym so that they can get a feel for sound and whatnot. CPR class scheduled for June the 10th. That's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. There's a sign-up sheet in the Narthex. Cost will be between $35 and $45 depending on the total number that sign up. Betty Cazito is taking care of that. You do not have to be a member of the church to be a part of that. So if you just need a certification in CPR, you're more than welcome to be a part of that. Again, June the 10th from 10 a.m. To 1 p.m. Men's breakfast every Wednesday at 10 a.m. at the Olympic Restaurant. You can go there and put away some groceries. No agenda, just time for the guys to get together. We'd love to have you if you can make it. The 4th of July celebration is going to be in the gym on July the 1st. That's where the patriotic music, that's what the concert band is working towards right now. That will be on July the 1st. On July the 29th, there's a ladies' event. We're going to get this on your calendar at Flip-Flops and T-shirts, and you can see Mari or Carol. There's Carol. Wave, Carol. Where's Mari? And there's where's Mari? Mari's, oh, you're behind Bill's head. I couldn't see you. There she is. That's Mari, and that's Carol. So if you want to be a part of that or need some information, they can get you hooked up. And those two ladies are also the ones that are planning the ladies' beach trip October the 5th through the 8th. Again, Carol or Mari? Marcia. Marcia, okay? I don't have that on there, but Marcia is the one on the beach trip. Marcia knows how to whip people in shape on that beach trip, right? There you go. Marcia knows how to get her done. She's got experience, but Marcia, if you have any questions about that, see Marcia. Listen, those ladies always have the best time in the world, so you don't want to miss out on that if you have that opportunity to, by which to be able to go. Don't forget to take a moment to look by our graduates' tables in the Narthex as you go out, and I haven't forgotten, David. I just wondered. This is actually the day of, we moved it to today, but our quarterly business meeting is going to be in 10 minutes, mainly because our regular schedule would fall on Father's Day, and we don't have evening services, and you don't want to round up a good old Father's Day worship with a business meeting. So nonetheless, we're going to take about 10 minutes, let you guys do what you need to do. Come on back. David is our moderator. He will go ahead and get our quarterly business meeting started, and then we'll get you to lunch, I promise. So is there anything I've forgotten? David, if you would, come on up, see us off in a word of prayer, and then y'all members, be back in 10 minutes, and we'll get our business meeting started.
One other thing that's in your bulletin that you don't know about yet, or maybe you read your bulletin and you do, our churchwide picnic is the first week in September this year, because we tried to get it set up second week like we normally do, and it was all booked up. So the only thing in September we could get was that first week. So it's it's Labor Day weekend this year instead. So kind of give you a heads up for that a long way so you can kind of plan. If you're not planning on being out of town, we'd love for you to be there, and we'll have sign-up sheets and everything for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house. God, we thank you that you love us and you care about us and you have a plan for our lives. Father, help us to get zeroed in on your plan for our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.